ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show live from New York City this week. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Hal Sparks will join us for Hump Days with Hal.
Yes.
He's on his way from the airport. His story is that he's coming from Hawaii, but you know the fact that he's late can only mean one thing, Chris.
What?
Prepare the drama sting. He's coming from Kenya. Is that what he said? Hawaii? All right. StephanieMiller.com.
He did send me a picture of his feet on a beach.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. It's a Kenyan socialist beach.
Okay.
All right. Kids, this hour brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. Do what I do. Back up your important computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today. Use my offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. I was on the Ed Show last night. Mm-hmm. That is up in the StephanieMiller.com section. Had dinner with Ed and Wendy Schultz last night. I'll tell you that story. But more importantly, I see that my White House line is flashing. You know how it is, Chris. I'm the first place the White House goes. We are very pleased and honored to welcome Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much. This is, listen, when my White House hotline flashes, I'm very excited. I've been a big fan of yours for a long time, though, I must say.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I listen to you whenever I can.
Right. Oh, dear.
Yeah. Not often enough, I must say, but they don't let
that
me
makes
listen
me...
to the radio.
That makes me slightly nervous, Madam Secretary. But please, let's, really, really important week. We are really in the home stretch here. Want to talk midterms and all of that. But now, as obviously our highest ranking official that, is charged with the implementation of the health care bill, first of all, do you feel as much frustration as I do that, to some degree, these right wing lies have been out there so much about the health care bill that we're still combating it? We're still having to say, 30 million more people have insurance. You can't be dropped for a pre-existing condition. Your kids can stay on your health care till you're 26. I mean, do you feel like the tide is turning in people in terms of on health care?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. There's been a lot of misinformation driven by a couple hundred million dollars in ads of misinformation, and that's a frustrating buzz to break through. What I thought was very encouraging is, on the 23rd of September, when a lot of the patient protection provisions kicked in, we began to see across the country people connect with the bill in a very personal way. So as you say, parents now can keep their kids on their family plan until 26, and Republicans say, no, we want to get rid of that. Parents with kids with pre-existing conditions now have the peace of mind that they can buy insurance coverage for their child and the treatments he or she needs. Republicans say, no, we want to get rid of that. Seniors who have really been targeted with misinformation know now, because they've got the Medicare and Me booklet in their hands, that there's some new guaranteed benefits coming. They get an annual wellness checkup. They'll have preventive care like mammograms and colon cancer screenings without copays. And the people who are hitting the so-called donut hole of drug coverage gap, we'll see a 50% decrease next year, and the donut hole will be closed. Again, Republicans say, no, we're going to get rid of all of that. So as people begin to understand how this impacts them, I think we're seeing folks become more enthusiastic about the bill.
Well, Madam Secretary, I speak for the unprofessional left. I get called an Obama apologist nearly every day. But, I have said on this show that when Senator Bernie Sanders, who clearly is a Medicare for all, a public option advocate of the highest degree, when he says this is a good bill and it's a great start, to me, that should reassure the progressive base, who, granted, are disappointed we didn't get a public option.
Well, it's, I find it interesting. If you think about, Stephanie, the fact that Medicare was passed 45 years ago, actually, my dad was in Congress, was on the Energy and Commerce Committee, helped to craft the Medicare law, voted for it, is now 89 years old and happy Medicare beneficiary. But Medicare doesn't look anything like it did 45 years ago. It has been fine-tuned and changed. And, you know, when you think about how incredibly important that law is, that seniors know when they turn 65 that they have health care benefits, that they won't have to spend their senior years in bankruptcy trying to pay for a health incident for themselves or their spouses. We want to do that for the rest of America, and I think this is such a huge step in that direction. And, you know, it's going to take some time to put together the marketplace to, frankly, take some power back from insurance companies and put it back in the hands of consumers and their docs. And I think that every step along the way is an important one, but the consumer protections that hit this year end some of the worst abuses of insurance companies, and it's what really Republicans are going to have a conversation with their constituents about repealing. They're not having a battle with me.
Or defunding. That's what they're running on, is defunding. The progress we've already made on health care.
You bet. And it's huge, and people have been waiting a very long time for this to happen.
Madam Secretary, you know, as I say, you know, I get calls all the time, as you can imagine, from right-wingers, from, you know, independents. And I know when a call starts with Obamacare, that they somehow have been fed this constant diet of misinformation. And so, you know, I'm wondering, what was it, Chris, yesterday, I think someone called and said, speaking of insurance companies, they're raising premiums. Because of Obamacare, they're raising premiums, and we knew this was going to happen. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's a lot of this fear-mongering is still out there. Can you talk to us about that?
Well, first of all, the more you can urge folks to visit the website healthcare.gov, I think that's a place to go to get some information. One of the things, Stephanie, that people have never had, particularly people who are shopping for insurance on their own in the individual market, or small business owners who, you know, are often paying 15 to 20% more for exactly the same coverage that the big guys get. Healthcare.gov, for the first time ever, puts together all of the information about what's available to you in your zip code, in your age group, and we've added price information, and we've added some information about how many people actually get turned down when they ask a company for this policy, kind of a consumer reports. But shining a bright light on the insurance industry, making companies line up their products side by side. I mean, the goal is competition in a market system, but there has never been any competition in the insurance market because they've gotten to pick and choose. They're willing to write coverage for people who promise never to get sick and dump people out of the market who do get sick. So the healthcare.gov website is a great place to start. And secondly,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, these are companies. I mean, these rates have been rising at astronomical rates. One of the things that will kick into effect next year is the medical loss ratio. Companies will have to spend 80% of their premium dollars on health-related benefits, not on CEO salaries, not on advertising. And if they don't, they're going to have to give a rebate to consumers. That's never been the law of the land before, and we intend to enforce it.
Yeah. Well, Madam Secretary, I think on this issue and certainly many others, the president, I think, says it best about, you know, if you want to go forward, put it in D. If you want to go backwards, put it in R. But again, if you want to, you know, defund and repeal whatever the things of the progress we've already made, or go back to the same policies economically that got us here, then you know, you should vote for Republicans.
Very clear choice it's back to the banks and the student lenders and the big insurance companies and the big oil companies, or it's putting some power back in the hands of constituents. I think people are mad, and they're mad all around the country, and I understand that anger. I just think we've got to make sure that they know who they're mad at. And, if you look at how we got into this mess and who made the rules and who wrote the laws that allowed the economic downturn to happen, allowed insurance companies to pick and choose who got coverage, allowed, $60 billion to go to lenders and not to students who were trying to go to college, that's who we should direct the anger at. And I think people are beginning to get that message.
And, you know, this unfocused anger that's, you know, been coming from the Tea Party and elsewhere, they've given us quite a, interesting array of candidates on their side.
That is very true. And some people would like to go back 4 or 5 years. Some of these candidates, some of the Tea Party candidates, would like to go back 50 years. They're not sure serving
four
people
or five
at
decades.
Lunch counters makes sense. Or
right.
Get rid of Social Security. Let's repeal, you know, privatize Medicare. I mean, some of the very principles that have made seniors, taken them from the poorest quadrant of our population to being comfortable in their senior years. Let's get rid of all of that and, again, have sort of a free fall. But I think there's some very clear choices, and I just hope people are really paying attention that it's about the future or the past. And I don't know a single country who gets along very well by going backward.
Yeah. Secretary Sebelius, how, I mean, obviously, you know, we've been, this drumbeat in the media for months has been, you know, Democratic bloodbath. It is going to be a wipeout. And, you know, as you know, we're seeing many of these races tighten and Democrats pull ahead in many cases. How is the White House feeling a few days out here?
Well, I think that the president is clearly out on the campaign trail. The first lady is out on the campaign trail. A lot of us throughout the administration are out and about and around the country. And I think all of us are seeing the same thing, that people are paying attention and that polls all over the country are beginning to tighten, that there's an enthusiasm level that's kicking in, whether it's East Coast or West Coast or in the middle of the country. So I'm feeling, and I think the president is feeling, optimistic that the message is getting through to folks that they have some real choices. And even if he isn't at the top of the ballot, a lot of the policies that elected him are on the ballot.
We can still choose hope over fear. You know,
you bet. You bet.
And as Bill Clinton has said, you know, we gave them 8 years to get us into this. We should give us a little more time than this to get us out of it. So
that's very true. And progress as 7 straight months of private sector job growth. We wish it was faster? You bet. But we are not losing 750,000 jobs a month, which is where we were when the president was sworn into office. So there is a turning around, you know, and I think we've got to just continue the progress we're making.
Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, what an honor, and I highly recommend that you don't listen again so that we might have an opportunity to get you back on.
Well, it sounds great. I'd love to visit with you again, Stephanie. And again, if folks can visit healthcare.gov, they're going to get a lot of information they've never had before.
All right, terrific. Thanks so much for taking time for us this morning. We appreciate it.
Sure, great to visit with you.
All right, there she goes,
bye-bye.
Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, calling from, I'm sorry, Chris.
The White House.
Thank you. I just like hearing that. Okay.
By the way, I just got a text from Hal Sparks. He is at the door, so he's here. He's here a little bit early.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that tends to lend credence to that he is coming from Hawaii. Yes. We would like to see his papers and his birth certificate and also his passport.
Yes.
All right. You know, kids,
what?
Don't make me come to your house because I will do it. If you don't have Carbonite.com, if you have not been to Carbonite.com and gotten Carbonite Online Backup, you're a doofus. And I mean that in a very loving way, because it's not if, it's when that inevitable computer disaster hits. We have a crash, a virus, a theft. You're going to lose everything on there. A computer you can replace. All that stuff, you can't. Carbonite automatically backs up the files on your PC or Mac whenever you are connected to the Internet. $55 for the entire year. Plus, you can remotely access your backed up files from any computer, even Hal Sparks on his fancy iPhone or BlackBerry with a free Carbonite app. Carbonite has recovered over 6 billion files that otherwise might have been lost forever, so don't risk it. Start backing up with Carbonite now. Here's my special offer to get you started today. Use my offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie for your free trial of 2 months free if you subscribe. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
I sound like old Lucy, because that's because I've been out drinking with Ed Schultz again.
Oh. Are you prepared for today's show?
No.
Great.
But I have good stories.
Oh,
20
yay.
Minutes after the hour. Tell you all those next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hal Sparks is setting up all his little widgets and gizzards. And, I don't know what his little fancy techno things. And he will join us after the bottom of the hour. Carl Frisch joins us next hour to co-host Right Wing World. Carl Frisch from Media Matters, of course.
Yes. And they've Media Matters has something big going on this weekend for the Rally for Insanity.
I know. Yes. We'll tell you what it is when Carl joins us. Yes. In the meantime, Chris, I'm not even sure why we're here today.
Why?
Or how we feel that we can go on or even have the will to live. What with, you know what I'm talking about. There are layoffs at the Family Research Council.
Oh.
Who will protect our children from the fictional cartoon, perceivably sort of gay characters and other giant threats to our children? Who is going to catch the perverts now?
I know, right? Couldn't happen to a bunch of meaner bastards.
Yeah, right? Totally, like an identity disorder and everything.
Now, I keep forgetting.
Oh, my God, what?
I keep forgetting which organization Newsbusters is aligned with. Media Research Council or Family Research Center?
I don't know. They let me slip by on the TV last night, however, I was on. I forgot to tell you, I'm a little discombobulated in New York, as you know. But Shano caught it, so it is up on StephanieMiller.com.
I had no idea you were on until Shano sent me the YouTube link.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
I didn't either. I was on the Ed Show at MSNBC, so that is up in the video section there on StephanieMiller.com.
And up on your Facebook page.
Pardon me?
And it's up on your Facebook page.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I drank copious amounts of wine with Ed and Wendy Schultz last night.
Of course you did.
Yes. Which is why. Actually, I don't even sound like old Lucy now. I sound like Mr. Carmichael. Or Mr. McGillicuddy, whatever his name was.
No, you sound like Barry White.
Yes. Mm. Anyway, he thinks...
you sound like Brent Bozell, actually.
I really do. Dear God, I'm not, I'm not used to a social life, so this is very, New York is very startling for me.
Mm-hmm. Bright lights, big city.
Yes. Ed Schultz thinks Harry Reid is going to pull it off. He is going to be broadcasting from out there in Vegas. For the primaries, so because he thinks that's where the epicenter is, obviously the Senate Majority Leader, they are getting desperate, Chris, in that now they are beating up on girls. Did you see the horrifying video? Of course, Ed played it. Them stepping on this woman's head, this Rand Paul thug. I mean, it really is. When you think the Joe Miller thing was an anomaly, no, they're a bunch of, or Carl Palladino, they're thugs. Mm-hmm. They're a bunch of thugs.
Yes, they are.
Mm. All right. So what else? Oh, I'm doing, I'm here doing fancy things. So, by the way, the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Uh-huh. He has a name,
I know. I'm staying at his cavernous apartment.
Yes.
And by the way, who was there yesterday when I came home is Michael Harrison. The king of Talkers Magazine.
Really?
Very influential. Yes, and I did as I walked by, I said, Mr. Harrison, if there's a single cover for me on Talkers Magazine, I'm here in the back bedroom.
So you tarted it up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's the guy that owns the show, though, is kind of like a mother hen. I don't know how I've made it to television and radio all these years on time, because he's like, okay, you ought to leave now. The car's here. Gotta go. Okay, you're late for the radio show. I'm like, I am not. I was in it, make a hair and makeup like a half an hour early. He's like my mother when I'm here. I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're going to be late. Mm-hmm. There's traffic.
I would rather you be early than late.
Oh, and you know what he's doing to me tonight?
What?
I have to go to this fancy event with him.
What he's doing to you tonight?
Well, I'm going to the T.J. Martell Foundation, which he's the president of, which is awesome. It's
right.
It's an awesome organization, to fight cancer and AIDS. And it's a big fancy gala.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs me to have my picture taken on the red carpet. And I'm like, no one wants to take my picture on the red carpet. Please don't humiliate me like this. No one knows who I am.
The last time your picture was taken on a red carpet, it was just your leg.
Yeah, because they were taking pictures of Shelley Wright, the official country star of the show.
And then they shoved you out of the way.
She made me walk on the red carpet with her, and all the photographers were like, Shelley, get the radio geek out of the way so we can get your picture. So just like half my legs, I'm like, what? Please don't make me do this. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's not nice. She's peculiar and rude and disgusting and hot.
Bite me. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. I can feel the heat all the way from Los Angeles.
Steffi. Oh,
what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Hump days with Hal Sparks. Yes! Yes!
What's happening?
Good morning, Hal Sparks.
Hiya.
Just in from Hawaii.
Yes.
Is your story?
Theoretically speaking. Yeah, I actually was there. And I'm not going to lie, it was spectacular.
Yeah, everyone wants to stay. When you go to Hawaii, everyone has
Hawaii.
That discussion. We could stay here, couldn't we? I think we could. I could get some sort of job.
You could telecommute. That's what GoToMeeting is for. I could just go to. You know what I could do is I could go to meeting from the beach. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get one of those little Verizon things that you carry around with you that's like a little wireless hub, and then I don't have to go anywhere. Yeah. I get all my writing on the beach. Oh, that's it. They get a little stain on my laptop and get that fixed. And I use Carbonite to back up all my stuff. See, I did that. Carbonite to back up all my stuff. And then if I go body surfing and actually decide to use my laptop, then all my stuff will be safe.
All right. Now, Sparks, you know, you go to all these fancy red carpet events because you are indeed famous.
Yes.
This is my problem is I have friends that are more famous than I am. Like, whenever I go anywhere with you, I'm used to the deafening screams of Hal. And then I'm just, like, there. So the guy that owns the show is making me go to this red carpet thing tonight where he insists that I get my picture taken. And it's humiliating, right? Chris, since I had to. You remember when I got my disastrous late night TV show?
Yes.
And they made me ride in that friggin' Disney parade at Disneyland?
Yes.
The show wasn't even on the air yet. And by the way, I didn't get any better known when it was on the air because it was a disastrous failure. However,
I know, I was
before
almost
the show
a part of it,
went
remember?
On the air, not a person in the world knew who I was. And I had to sit there with all the Disney characters in the car and watch a bunch of people wave. And you could see every one of them mouthing, who is that?
Yeah.
Why is she in the, what?
Well, didn't they have to assign you red carpet dates?
Yes. That's how I'm Greg Brady and God knows who else.
Really?
So your dates were more famous than you were.
Wow. Well, here's
they
the thing.
They assigned me a number of famous beards.
Are you going? Yeah. Well, it's hard to tell in those
days
whose
so
beard was whose.
To talk about that now?
Yeah. it's hard to decide whose beards were whose.
Yeah.
at that point.
Speaking of gay things, Hal Sparks, you...
Yes.
You are the perfect person to... I am instituting a new game show. Chris, could I have some game show music, please? Kind of Cute or Kind of Gay is the name of the game show.
Sure. Okay.
And you know on the Stephanie Miller Show, we mean gay in a good way.
All right.
And see, you are one of those straight men that is secure enough in your straightness to... You don't have to overcompensate.
Nope.
Okay.
Although my normal way of living is often seen as overcompensation to those who don't think that anybody could
really
actually live like that.
You really are a man whore.
Right,
I can
exactly.
confirm that.
It's funny, that, like somehow James Bond, that's completely normal behavior, but if I try it, suddenly it's
oh,
because
yeah,
I'm
because
something.
The queerest folk, sure. Yeah.
Nobody could like women that much. Give it a try, trust me.
Oh, no, he does. He does like.
Ah, see?
You're a man whore who's into heavy metal and motorcycles.
Right.
Yeah.
What's not to love, honestly? And
okay,
why would you bother
just found
faking
this
that?
Right.
Unbelievably hilarious and cute. So yesterday I had lunch with Seymour, who is the guy who owns the show and is trying to kill me for the life insurance money's best friend.
Oh.
And they're, you know, middle-aged, straight, happily married guys with kids.
Which means they're hitting on everything that walks by.
No, I'm out to lunch with him. He has a friendship ring. And he's like, Ron has one too. I'm like,
what?
You guys have friendship rings? I'm like,
that is so glee.
Gay or cute. Gay or cute. That's
right.
They're those like straight guy older best friends that have been friends for like, you know, 30 years. And I'm like, that's so Hal Sparks, cute or gay?
That's kind of mafia, I think.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. It's like if they were Japanese, they would have cut that finger off.
Yeah.
That's really odd.
What are you going to find a horse's head in your bed?
Then I thought it really takes probably a really secure straight man to admit I have a friendship ring with my best friend.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
I would totally get there. Like, I may in the next 24 months or so, in the next couple of years, get a bro tattoo with a friend of mine. You know,
awesome.
And that, you know, it'd be.
It's a bromance.
Yeah, right. It would have to be because it's permanent. It's like that old joke, you know. I'd get married, but a tattoo—that's permanent. Right.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so that doesn't bother me at all. It is a bit 9-year-old. I don't know about gay, but it's
yes.
You know, there's
right.
I think
it's more like in the fort when you're 9, really.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I think we tend to use the word gay quite in two pejorative senses. One in the feminine, which is right. often a slam on women more so than gay men.
Right.
And then secondly being like you're behaving like you're in middle school. Like, that is, you know what I mean? That's what we associate that with.
Exactly.
Whereas it has nothing to do with modern adult homosexuals and gay, yeah. lesbian,
well,
transgender.
Well, no, you know, with all these
together.
Female Republican candidates, you know, with the testicular humor, you know, with the
right.
man up and the cojones and the whatever.
Sure.
I was saying, there, you know, you're right. There's an undercurrent of homophobia there, of just saying you're not a man. You're not a, you know.
Well, remember when Schwarzenegger came out and called the state legislature girly men?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you had to go. I raised my hand. I was like, dude, there are women working there.
Right.
What are they, manly girls?
Right.
What are they?
Right. Right. But that's why I realized, yeah. I thought, oh, my God, that's actually incredibly secure in your manhood. To admit
yeah.
you have a friendship ring with your best friend. Like, so anyway, it was...
It's kind of adorable. What it is it's more, it's less gay and more of a kind of a sign of arrested development.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just
you know
did
what
a
mean?
Scooby-Doo. I didn't
We're
know how
to be
like,
buddy.
That is so...
See
adorable?
Up in the tree.
Odd.
Right.
In the tree fort.
I see in the tree fort.
Wait,
I
no,
got more
girls.
Cushions.
We're pulling up the rope.
It's the He-Man woman hated cow, baby. That's right, baby. Climb up in this tree. We're going to throw crab apples at the girls when they walk to school.
Sorry, you made me snort.
Oh, good.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, House Sparks, I'm like, I'm having a social life and stuff here in the...
I told you.
I went,
told
you know
you
I went the other night?
Yeah.
Monday night, I went to West Bank Cafe. You know where it is?
Of course I do. I'm a...
Theater district.
Yeah. That's amazing.
My friend Allison from the official girl group of the Stephanie Miller Show, uh-huh. Betty, was playing with her husband, and they have all these great, like, you know, Broadway stars, and people just stop by and sing. And
so
yeah.
how did you not have any kind of social life whatsoever when you lived there? But now that you're visiting, you're like,
I don't know.
I'll tell you why. Because she's herself. Honestly, I mean, you know, you want to look at one of the biggest factors of you being able to openly be who you are,
yeah.
and come out and be truthful with your social circle in
yes.
full effect, then you can enjoy New York.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? New York is not a place to not be yourself. It's like
I
living
still have
in
a big yeah. dollop of loser in me, but thank you for that.
I disagree. Oh, and I actually think your experience on the red carpet will also change as you become more comfortable in your own skin in that regard.
Aww.
And I think that's a beautiful thing because I think you're worth photographing.
Or I still may get shoved to the side. Actually, they take your picture just to be polite, but then you know they don't. Like you say, Chris, just like part of my leg gets published because they're like...
Yeah, but you
whatever.
Are going with the guy who's producing the show. I mean, arguably... I mean, granted, you might be a billy goat, but you're next to the troll that lives under the bridge. There's a, you know what I mean?
Like, thanks, honey.
At one point,
really
yeah, so
it's a backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
I mean, you could actually be awful and still standing next to him. You're like, oi, who? Shoot her!
Yeah.
Whatever. If you look like you did as a kid, you'd still get photographed more than you would if you were.
Oh, you know who's going to be there tonight? It's the T.J. Martell thing. What do you call it? Kenny Loggins and also Charlie Daniels. Noted Iraq war expert from Fox News.
Oh, my God.
Who, by the way, Charlie Daniels. Okay, so Chris and I are touring. My buddy Chris Bono Man on Twitter, of course. We're touring around the country. We've been everywhere twice. We go to Tennessee. There's a Charlie Daniels store, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a nice little shelf in the back corner where you can buy racist knickknacks from the Confederacy.
Awesome.
So there's little black people and salt shakers and sugar holders, and it's insanity. It's just... Mm. Crazy.
I was asking for Devil Went Back Down to Georgia.
Oh,
come
okay.
on.
Yeah.
I love that song. I do love that song.
You
I
know
must
what's
say.
Interesting? I was always the part where he goes, where he talks about the devil's music, and he goes,
yes.
Band of Demon joined in, and it sounded something like this. That was my favorite part of the song, and that was very... right. This part bugged me. But the devil music part in the middle, I was like, that's
yeah.
more my speed.
I love this song. I don't care. I'm going to tell him. I'll probably sing some of it to him. You know how I am, Chris. I always geek out.
Please don't. Please
yeah.
don't. Because then he'll go on and on about the Iraq war.
Yep. Soul of steel. He was way behind.
He was looking to make
a deal. Right, that's devil's music.
There is devil music!
Yeah. So,
yeah, totally.
He played less fiddle and more guitar, the devil did, apparently.
Oh, totally.
Okay. Oh, there's the fiddle.
There it is. All right.
And notice it's this atonic kind of almost classical sound. You're like, oh, how rude.
By the way,
that's a violin.
Speaking of, I met a... this is a great story. I also got to see my best, one of my best friends from New York here, Melinda, mm-hmm. who has a new boy. This is an awesome. I love this. She has a new blind musician boyfriend. And wow. She was telling, well, first of all, he's, let's just say, girl talk, just awesome in many ways. Anyway, but.
Oh, dear.
Yes. It's true the other senses are heightened or whatever, but she was saying how awesome it is because, like she said, when they have great sex, she doesn't have to fix her makeup. She can wear the same clothes over and over again.
Wow. That's an interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
I hadn't thought about the benefits, yes.
But he can still be on her hair.
That's true.
Right. But she's just saying she doesn't have to, the first time he's a woman, she doesn't have to worry, does my makeup look good? Is this look, you know.
Is the lighting right?
Yeah. She doesn't have to bother asking, do I look fat in this? Because he can't tell. So, she goes, I just wear the same stuff over mm-hmm. and over. I don't have to ever worry if I, you know. Hmm. Just saying. Kind of freeing.
Wow. Oh,
all right. Huh. David in Seattle on the head stomping Rand Paul. Hello, David.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. Hey, you guys. Hey, it seems like Rand Paul cares more about corporations having a boot on their neck than a woman at one of his rallies.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't want a boot on the neck of BP, but he does want one on, yeah,
on the neck of a woman who is carrying a sign.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're constantly whining and whining about the Constitution, the First Amendment, the 14th Amendment, the 17th Amendment, and what, you know, whatever the hell. It's like they're so phony. I can't wait till they disappear.
Yep. Well, let's hope. Let's get out and vote.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you something. You know, one of the biggest things that will make them disappear will be a few of them actually getting in, and you see what they are in action. Because I think actually the Senate, I think, is sound. I think the House actually looks good. It's starting to look way better. The early voting numbers are mm-hmm. very reassuring. People need to get out and vote today. If it's available in your area, get out. I mean, you got between now and Monday, really, to
eat it.
Yeah.
You're done. Exactly. 46 minutes after the hour.
You're appealing to red state people.
More happy, clappy midterm stuff with Hump Days with Hal Sparks as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, come on! You gotta admit this is cool!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
We don't mind the Republicans joining us. They can go come for the ride, but they got to sit in back.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour.
Hal is doing the flash dance.
I did this. I did.
Were you?
Yes. Selected.
For the HalSparks.com Ustream?
Yeah. Yeah. HalSparks.com/Ustream. Yes, the chat room, I thought I'd give them that since it was just... I mean, you can't do that to me. I was, 12 when that movie came out or whatever?
Yes.
And I was in dance at school and
breakdancing really?
At the time. Absolutely. It was okay. Where all the girls were. It was that or wrestling, and that made no sense to me. Like, if I want
to
roll...
I've still never been able to do that move where you take your bra off under your shirt at the table eating lobster.
I'll show you how to do it.
Been able to
I've taught
that
several
out.
Girls how to do it, and I can't do it myself, but I can talk you through it.
I've fallen over backwards, you know, with my arms trapped in my shirt, but, you know, I wasn't quite as sexy as I'd hoped.
Right. As the water hit you on the chair at the wrong time. Somebody triggered the bucket at the wrong time. It's not... Oh, man.
Dave is heading up. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mama.
Hey, baby.
I'm so tired of you being so down on yourself because you are so attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. Remember when you came to Blue State Ball and my ex-partner and I were your handlers? And you
had to adjust the Blue State Ball.
Yes, and you had to adjust your bra. And as you were doing this in front of me in the world, I said, God, I wish I was straight. This would actually be quite exciting. But, you know, you are a beautiful, beautiful woman. You got beautiful eyes. You got beautiful dark hair.
Oh,
and so no one's going to buy this that you're the child of a wolf pack and things. So,
but I was.
Right now.
Look at the pictures on the website. I was a small wolf child from Buffalo.
Right, but let it go. I mean, you left that in the dust a long time ago. You're a beautiful woman.
All right. Well, I'm just saying. I'm
get
a werewolf
used to the idea.
Werewolf of Lockport. That's
true.
My
we shaved you down and taught you to walk amongst humans, and now
you look less like a wolf than Joe Miller does.
Right. Leave your wolf pass behind.
Exactly. Legend of Greystoke.
Jeff in Mount Hope, Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, I got a message for the Democrats and the progressives out there. I would suggest that all of us hold off on our voting until Tuesday for the simple fact it'll keep the Republicans wondering and they won't know until Tuesday when we all come out and vote and we knock them back on the heels, give them the coup de grace.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain people's faces I cannot wait to see the look on if this does not become the Republican tsunami they've been predicting.
Can't believe the crap that this Ron Johnson is delivering here in Wisconsin, and he does not give you one single thing that he's going to do other than cut taxes, and then who suffers?
Yep. Hey, Jeff, how are the polls looking there? I know that my future husband, Russ Feingold, was, surging.
He's coming back slowly but surely.
Yep.
But, I got confidence, and keep your chin up, and we're going to do it.
Yep. Russ Feingold's one of our absolute finest. Get out and vote in Wisconsin, Mama says.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For God's sakes. I'm the queen of Madison, aren't I, Chris? I'm something.
Sure.
Oh, Jane, I have a pull, don't I?
Something like
Jay,
that.
Jay in Saratoga. Hi, Jay.
Hey, Steph.
They would
you?
Take my picture on the red carpet in Madison.
Totally. Hey. Do they have red carpets in Madison?
Sure. Hi, Jay. Sorry.
Hey, I want to give you the heads up real quick. I just want to say thank you for the products that you're endorsing. I started about a year ago on the P90X, and I started at 5'7", 190 pounds, benching my weight maybe once if I'm lucky. And
wow.
Now I'm... down to 145 pounds. I'm benching almost 300 pounds. So the P90X
Holy
works.
Cow. Oh,
well done, lad.
I will come and kiss your six-pack when next time I'm in Saratoga.
It's actually an eight-pack now, by the way.
Mm.
Second thing, Cedarside, in conjunction with Diatomaceous Earth, will get rid of fleas, it will get rid of bed bugs, it will get rid of everything.
Yeah.
You can pick up
I swear to God, this is an unsolicited testimonial.
Yeah.
We don't have people call in and just randomly.
I have no connection to the company whatsoever. I'm just an environmental scientist who used the stuff.
Yeah, it is awesome. Cedarside.com. Check it out. Okay.
It really is.
Go ahead,
the reason
Jay.
I'm calling, the political reason, was I think I have finally come to the conclusion, what the heck is going on with these Tea Party people?
What's
and I
that?
Think they always talk about Woodrow Wilson and how awful he was, but Woodrow Wilson actually accomplished something that was really, really great because it established what we now have as, my fingers are quoting, reality.
Right.
The need for government. In the minds of these people in the Tea Party, they see right and left as the prior to 1913, the right wing was the absence of government. It was anarchy. And left wing was tyranny. So they're using this paradigm of tyranny and anarchy to put into place what's going on today, not seeing that we've evolved or we've progressed past that. Into
yesterday, we got called communists, socialists, and Nazis.
It's because of that paradigm.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They're using a historical outline that no longer fits the frame. They're literally taking it's kind of like if they were arguing Roman politics overlaid on what was going on presently, and saying, "Well, you can't have the emperor allowed to do those things."
Right.
It would sound absurd, but since they're still using that kind of they're using modern-ish language, 100-year-old language. It seems less crazy, but it's not.
Yep. Now, speaking of teabaggers, in breaking Republican thug news today,
right.
Alaska Wolf candidate Joe Miller admitted to improperly using three coworkers' government computers over a lunch break to access his personal website to participate in a political poll, then cleaning up the caches to try to cover up the activities.
Yep.
And the volunteer with Rand Paul's Senate campaign who stepped on the head of a MoveOn volunteer and pinned her face to the concrete will appear in court. And the judge will determine whether to proceed with the assault case.
That's right.
Yeah, I love the stories where Rand Paul's like, I wasn't even near it. I don't know what that was. And then the volunteer's going, well, she was rushing at him. Okay, either she was rushing at someone who was there, or she was rushing at someone who was not there.
Exactly.
In which case, no one was to be harmed in this. Secondly, it was three guys on one woman, and they're standing on her. By the way, if you don't think this is how they're going to govern... You don't think private security, private, ignoring the news unless it's Fox, guaranteeing they get positive coverage. This is classic you know, monarchical behavior from people who view themselves as
monarchs.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's amazing.
And the other breaking news we have to get to later, Clarence Thomas into bestiality.
What?
Uh-huh. Did you see? What was his name? Lillian McEwen on Larry King.
Yeah, his girlfriend.
Unbelievable. Yes, the girlfriend they used as his, you know, character witness.
Mm-hmm.
The ex-girlfriend that they had used.
By the way, they did not subpoena. They had her do that, but then he requested she not talk to the press.
Right.
Hmm. Curious that.
Hmm.
58 minutes after the hour, Carl Frisch from Media Matters joins us next to co-host Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Frisch.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. The website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy. Voice deity Jim Ward. Me, Stephanie Miller. Hump Days with Hal Sparks continues apace.
It's in effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the hizzy. Exactly. He's video streaming at HalSparks.com.
As you do.
Yes. And Mama on the Edge show, if you missed it, on MSNBC, is up in the video section of StephanieMiller.com.
And on your Facebook page, is it not?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Look at that.
Yes.
Which I liked, by the way. I liked your Facebook.
Oh, did you hit the like button?
Oh, I hit that like button.
I love when you hit my like button.
Oh, there it is. You need a much bigger.
Hit it repeatedly. No, right there. No, a little lower. No.
Click it, click it.
No, a little faster. Just to the side.
Unlike and like it and unlike it.
Okay. All right, come on. It's Frisch. Let's go.
Sorry about that, Carl.
Carl. Carl Frisch.
Exciting.
The Media Matters for America.
So inviting to me.
Good morning, Carl Frisch.
I thought you guys were playing with the poke button.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the poke button is something entirely different.
I've worn that completely down to a nub. You got to be careful with that. You can totally overdo the poke button.
All right. You know, Carl Frisch, you have something, there's something doing at the, you know, the big Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert rallies, of course, this Saturday in D.C. What are you guys doing at Media Matters?
Well, you know, for going on a couple weeks now, we've heard them talking about the, you know, rally to restore sanity and the march to keep fair live, and I just couldn't help but thinking that it reminded me of a certain cable news network, the keep fear live thing, Fox News. Mm-hmm. They keep fear live every single day, so Media Matters has put advertisements in all the metro stations that people will be using to get to the rally this Saturday in Washington. We've also got dozens of volunteers and street canvassers that will be carrying our petition, calling on advertisers to drop Fox to the masses that assemble. We'll be handing out T-shirts and rally signs and lapel stickers as well.
Wow.
And right now we're finalizing some plans to have a presence at the L.A. rally as well.
Oh, cool. And it's foxkeepsfearalive.com, right?
Right. foxkeepsfearalive.com. You can sign the petition for more information, and we'll keep you up to date on how you can hold, you know, the people that underwrite the craziness at Fox News, the sponsors, accountable.
Yep. All right. Awesome. Let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing. Oh, God. Here's the thing, Carl, among other things I don't get about Glenn Beck's success is... Doesn't he just say the same things over and over again?
Yes.
Isn't it like the crazy right-wing conspiracy version of the Flintstones background?
You know, I hesitate to say it, but I'm pretty sure that it's just an act, and he's got a pull string on his back, and he only has like 8 or 12 different things that he does at any given time.
Yes.
And the reason that sometimes we get startled and scared is because sometimes it gets jumbled up. You remember those toys when you were a kid, you'd pull the string and then it would sound like some horror movie talking to you.
Yes, well, speaking of which, pull the string, Chris, here you go.
Our churches are under attack from the inside, and they are masked. The enemies are masked through social justice and the social justice of liberation theology through collective salvation. That is abhorrent to everything that God stands for. And what, if you believe you're a believer in Jesus, that is the exact opposite.
What? Justice and liberation are bad?
And God stands for things. What? He does. He has a political platform, and it's being interrupted by... Yeah.
And by the way, did you hear about my rally, on Martin Luther King's anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech? He didn't support liberation theology or economic justice.
No, not at all.
No. But here's the thing I just don't get about Glenn Beck's audience is... I mean, seriously, is it like Freebird? Can you just not hear it enough? Or how is it like, because with fear-mongering, isn't it sort of like at some point you don't flinch anymore? It's like, ah, okay. You just said that.
No, I don't think it's fear-mongering. I think it's Stockholm Syndrome. Eventually you don't flinch anymore because you've heard the same thing over and over again. But really what it comes down to is this is really not just repetition for repetition's sake. This is a subtle form of introducing the idea that not only is the media biased, but everything those liberals in their tweed sport coats with the arm patches, the elbow patches ever told you is a liberal conspiracy. Just like science and truth and all those other crazy liberal things. And that's what he's done. So, he's done it to history, he's done it to science, he's done it to religion, and he's done it to our founding fathers even.
Could it be considered a form of brainwashing? I mean, if you're doing this over and over and over again, that's what he's doing to his audience.
Remember that George Bush quote where he's like, sometimes you gotta catapult propaganda. Exactly. And you do have to, here's the thing with Glenn Beck. Yes, it's the same thing, but the nuance is it's the same boogeyman every time in a different venue. The whole point is it's peeking out from behind everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. It's like the blob.
How did I say? Speaking of which, Rush Limbaugh. How did I know that this would not be, a bipartisan thing that's bad to step on women's heads?
You've got MoveOn.org and a typical move here. And by the way, do you want to know who this woman is? This is not the first time Lauren Valley has shown up. So you have a professional agitator here from MoveOn.org. Her head was not stepped on. Her shoulders were.
That's how she got a concussion.
So much better.
She got a concussion from having her shoulders stepped on.
Mm-hmm. Big she's punishment. An agitator, so she's just asking to have her head crushed.
The man who did the stomping, he put out a statement yesterday saying that, it was the camera angle made it look a lot worse than it did. You know what else made it look a lot worse than it was? The concussion.
Yeah, exactly.
Three guys roughing up one woman. Maybe that made it look.
Moving. I mean, she stopped moving the second they grabbed her.
Right.
And what was she doing before that? She was trying to get a picture in front of Rand Paul holding a sign that made fun of him. Big freaking deal.
These are guys who watch American History X with their pants around their ankles. This is not a healthy crowd. Man.
Hell!
We don't have any. The Stephanie Lillishow does not have direct evidence of that. We're just saying.
That's probably true.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Metaphorically speaking.
Okay.
All right. You know who the real thugs are? Unions, of course. All right. As always.
If the hired thugs who work for the SIEU and AFSCME and AFT are able to outdraw the amateur enthusiasts of the Tea Party and the various other groups, then the Democrats have a good chance at doing very well. My money is on the Tea Party because I think that is an energized, enthusiastic group.
Ah.
Only Dick Morris would hear the term, feet on the ground and think that it was a come online.
Right.
and I've never heard of SIEU.
The SIEU.
International Union.
SEIU.
Yes.
They're going to be attacking the EIOU.
Yeah, and by the way, when's the last time you've heard a union member stepped on a woman's head?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It must have been a long time ago. I've never heard of it.
Right.
I think he must be dyslexic.
What I have heard is that Dick Morris is painfully obvious when he's shilling to make money off of his arrangement with Fox News, putting up his website address every opportunity he gets and taking money on the side while promoting clients on the air without saying that.
And isn't he an AFTRA member? Speaking of union thugs.
Yes,
the union is protecting him handsomely. Yeah.
All right, O'Reilly.
Americans are in no mood for politically correct nonsense about the Muslim threat. It is real.
The Taliban is real. Al-Qaeda is real. And the Islamic theocracy of Iran is perhaps the most threatening nation on earth. I rest my case.
Did you just say Al-Qaeda is real?
What? No.
You know, it's strange to hear him, you know, on this crusade, so to speak, to prove that his opinions about Muslim people are accurate, given what we know about him and falafels, you know, which is Eastern food. You'd think that he wouldn't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole, no matter how many stewardesses were involved.
Falafels. Right. Yeah. And by the way, didn't the IRA blow up a lot of people, too?
Yeah. Yes.
I guess all Irish Catholics are evil, then.
Yes. Tucker Carlson on the Fox Business Channel.
Well, the economy's in dreadful shape, obviously, and it's been mismanaged by this administration. The story is made up, of course. I mean, real poor people don't eat out of dumpsters. The nutritional crisis among the poor is obesity, not starvation. If large numbers of Americans give up their dignity to the point where they eat food out of dumpsters, which is disgusting and beneath contempt, in my opinion, then we won't recover. Because that's a sign that we've given up. Look, you don't need to eat out of a dumpster. There are food banks.
What? What the hell?
And I have a satchel full of libertarian magic dust. And to make it all better.
Yeah.
You know, I think Tucker Carlson has been bitter since he lost his last job, which was
kind of hard
right after losing his job before that.
Right, yeah. How do you keep track after a while?
He's got, like, this thing on his wall where he's got, you know, like in prison with the little hash marks counting his time at Fox News because he knows that it's a ticking time bomb. It's only a matter of time before he loses yet another job. And he's forced to move his Daily Caller website to GeoCities or Blogspot.
No matter what kind of tie he wears. Okay. His ties cannot protect him anymore. All right. As we all know, midterms fast approaching, and Fox News, as a fair and balanced network, Carl, they just are excited and want you to get out and vote. They're not saying who you should vote for.
On November 2nd, 2010, you have a choice. You can stand up for freedom and liberty, or sit back and let the American dream become a nightmare. It's way too late for politics. Instead, vote as if your way of life depends on it. Because it does. Vote for government by the people, of the people, and for the people. Vote Democrat, Republican, or Independent. But whatever you do, vote for honor, restoration, the Constitution. Vote for America.
Wow.
Okay. As perceived by the Tea Party.
Yes.
Which is exactly all the Tea Party slogans.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny that they would use all those little buzz terms that they've shoved down the throats of their audience for the better part of 2 years and then say, if you happen to think after what we've told you that this describes a Democrat, go ahead and vote for them.
Right.
Yes, voting Democratic, though, is not a valid or...
I realize that the gene pool of the audience may be a little diluted at this point, but I don't think anybody in that group is going to be voting Democrat.
Yes.
Right.
Well, do what you want. We're just saying voting Democratic is gay and not a valid or successful choice.
Right.
However.
That's also, by the way, you know, the same way that Glenn Beck dodges the violence element is that every so often just pepper this little thing like, hey, we're fair. We said vote Democrat at one point in an ad when the whole rest of the ad is weighted in another direction. The same way that Glenn Beck every 15th show says, we can't be violent, that's what they want. And then the rest of the show is like, we're going to have blood on our hands, it's time for revolution. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like 95-5. But that's
Carl Frisch, good luck at the twin rallies, the John Stewart and Stephen Colbert, handing out your, what is the website again?
It is foxkeepsfearalive.com.
All right. Go forth, young man, and conquer. Thank you for coming on. We'll see you next week.
Yay.
There he goes, Carl Frisch.
He's also on Twitter, at Carl Frisch, and at MMFA is Media Matters for America.
Awesome. 19 minutes after the hour, we continue with Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And don't let those screeches bother me.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Leonard in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Leonard.
How are you doing today, ma'am?
Good. Oh, I'm fine, sir.
Well, I would just like to say that I absolutely cannot stand the way that you guys vilify the people within the Tea Party and expect ignorance out of us.
How did I knew that was coming?
Oh,
first of all.
How do I vilify the Tea Party? There are obviously specific people I've talked about.
Hold on. Uh-huh. I listened to your station for the first time yesterday.
Oh, dear.
I just happened to connect it on one of our public radio stations, which is a great outlet, and I get a lot of information that I normally wouldn't get otherwise talking to my demographic group.
Which Rand Paul wants to shut down.
Small business owners. Yeah. First of all, I absolutely cannot stand the term teabaggers. It's derogatory. It's meant to be derogatory.
But you guys...
Wait a minute.
They started.
That's what they call themselves
in the
beginning.
I'm being polite, and I'm not interrupting... Yes. Let me finish my statement.
Mm-hmm. Yes, teabaggers call themselves teabaggers.
I'm not going to use a term against the Democratic Party that would misrepresent my party in thinking that we're all one thing or another. So you're using a term that's grabbing everybody in, and you know it's derogatory, and you use it anyway.
Right, but the original Tea Party members, that's what they called themselves.
Okay. No, they don't call themselves teabaggers.
The original ones did. Yes,
until they found out what it really meant.
I haven't met one in Michigan or North Carolina, which is the two groups that I'm a part of, that's ever referred themselves as a teabagger.
Really? You never saw that woman with the little teabags hanging from her hat into her face, and she
probably signs that we're going to teabag Washington.
No, I haven't met that one. Now,
it's not one. It's have you the read original the, tea parties that were covered.
Have you read the National Review article that called them teabaggers? National Review is a pretty far-right magazine.
Are you going to let me finish my statement?
Hold on one second.
Here's how
you
it
did
finish. You say something, and then we respond.
Right. Yeah, you did finish a statement. You said
no,
you don't.
I did not.
Okay, so we're...
Need that particular article.
Okay.
Now, we're individuals...
So far, we've shot down every one of your points. What's next?
Now, first of all, I don't agree with stepping on anybody's head. I also don't agree if you're not there to support the party that's having the convention, you shouldn't be running up to take your picture and basically a security risk, just as if I wouldn't have my place.
So if you run up to take a picture of someone, you deserve to have your head stepped on.
Their message.
Right, so violence is a proper response to anyone who's protesting.
That individual is facing charges for what he did, and that I have no problem with. If they deem what he did is illegal, well, by George, boom, done. I got no problem. Make him serve time if that fits the crime. That's my opinion on it.
Okay.
Second of all, we are not individuals who are cronies of the insurance organizations. As was stated yesterday, and some of your listeners...
Yes, many of the original Tea Parties were funded by the insurance companies.
The organizers were funded by Tea
Party. There are people within the organization that do push for that, but there are people within the Democratic Party and the Republican Party who are on fringes of all sorts of guns. But I'm telling you, people who push the Tea Party agenda here in the state of Michigan are pushing smaller government. We want people to stop expecting the government to take care of everything for us. Because by George, you know what? We can do it ourselves. I work 60 hours a week to push my business through this economy and to make sure I'm standing when it's wrecked. As far as I'm concerned, by the Obama administration.
I certainly hope you don't drive on any roads in the course of your business.
You know who wrecked the economy was the Bush administration wrecked the economy. You know that, right?
Free fall before. Wait a minute. You're saying the Bush administration, the start of all of this.
Happened during the Bush administration.
Yes. Now, wait a minute. Timing, yes. Cause, no.
Okay.
It was just a coincidence.
It was a
coincidence.
You know what? He's right on one point, because a lot of actually what caused this started during Reagan.
That's true. That is true.
It was a weird coincidence. It was a weird quirk of
time. Time is a conspiracy. What a coincidence. Conspiracy. Just like math.
Yeah. It's like 9/11 is Obama's fault. Like, let's just...
Sure.
Why don't,
retroactively.
Wait, 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What say you and I knock some very sensual boots?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. He was a fun teabagger cat toy, wasn't he, to play with that
he
last
was.
Caller?
Well, we were talking in here. It's funny to watch teabaggers spout all of these talking points until they hit the brick wall of a smart liberal. And then their thoughts just seem to shatter, and they just grasp at anything.
At least he had some energy. Remember the guy that called, was it yesterday? He didn't. They're losing the energy for the talking points.
Yeah.
It was like, when you try to get your dog interested in a toy, that's just not that, it doesn't squeak or anything.
Well,
they're just kind of like, ah.
It's not his fault. He's sitting at a phone bank at Freedom Works. He's being paid $4 an hour.
Right.
They're not unionized there. He's got to get all of his talking points in and still manage to keep together his fake Southern accent. And so that he can draw us out as the elitists that we are, because we'll immediately assume he's dumb because of his accent, not because of the things he's actually saying.
Yes.
You just think I'm dumb because of how I sound. No, actually. I
think you're dumb because you're kind of dumb.
Because that's a bad accent. Okay, Jackie in Santa Cruz, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah. Hello, sweetheart. I'll make this brief, believe me. I keep hearing this phrase, what would Jesus do? Well, believe him, don't believe him. That's up to you. But I think he'd say something like this.
He would defund health care for sure.
Absolutely. Sure. Can't we all just get along, please. Well, thank you, darling.
All right, thank you,
Jesus,
darling.
Just left
Thanks
Chicago in a Hyundai.
I tend to go with the what would Richard Branson do, because he seems to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's
I'm going to go into space, my own private spaceship.
I'm going to parachute from the moon. What's this? Boing.
And my hair looks perfect.
Yes. Right onto this nude woman on the deck of a yacht. Watch me belly flop, gents.
I shall have my first intergalactic zero-gravity shag.
Kind of ironic he called his airline virgin, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. This is from the Lisa Murkowski and Wolf candidate Joe Miller. I believe this is about the latest
Alaska
controversy of his employment shenanigans.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, you talk about your West Point career, your background there, and it really has been, I think, probably the cornerstone of your campaign. What would your classmates at West Point say about how well you have lived up to your code of honor?
Again, Senator, if your life was put under the same level of scrutiny as mine, you wouldn't even be sitting here today. And I will tell you another thing as well, that with respect to my West Point classmates, they're standing proudly behind me.
All of them? Really?
Yeah, Lisa Murkowski,
sure,
of course, hasn't been under any scrutiny because she's not a politician either.
No.
Yeah. What?
Nobody's bothered to look into her background. This is irritating.
Vote for Scott McAdams.
Did someone call him a wambulance by any chance?
Vote for Scott McAdams.
Yep.
Scott McAdams.org. Okay. Jack Conway and the thuggish Rand Paul.
Kentucky, the Kentuckians know you don't attack a man's dog and you don't attack a man's horse. But I will say this.
You can't attack a man's religion, right?
Well, I question your actions,
that's okay, right?
I question your actions, not your faith.
Yeah.
What?
Huh?
He's such a twit.
I question your action, not your faith. By the way, I was named after Ayn Rand, who thinks that anybody who's religious is mentally ill.
Yeah. How's that, Aqua Buddha?
Yeah, exactly. That's the one thing that I that there has been a disconnect that I think is worth exploiting and is honest, is that the libertarian aspect of the Tea Party, the Rand and Ron Pauls of the world, who really do believe what they're saying, believe that people who are religious of any sort, Jewish, Hindu, Christian, Buddhist, whatever, are mentally ill. They are that religion and spiritual belief is a sickness. And yet they keep it under wraps because they know a big portion of the Tea Party
right.
crowd is very, Christian, meets gun.
He's not a Christian!
Right. And they won't. Yeah. And they don't realize that these people are mocking them behind their back. Like, I may not share their beliefs, but I certainly am all for them. Their validity. But
yep,
these guys
exactly.
believe you're nuts if you believe in any kind of God at all, and then they run away from it if you ask them a question about it. That's what he was doing there.
Jack Conway at the debate last night.
I think job number one is jobs. And of the two candidates sitting here, I actually have a jobs plan.
Okay.
Right.
Snap.
That's not fair, because Rand Paul has a jobs plan. It's that there should be more jobs in China.
Yeah, exactly.
That more Kentuckians' jobs should be sent to India. That's his jobs plan.
Rand Paul last night.
People are tired of the career politicians. They want an outsider. They want someone new, and that's what this election will be about.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
They want somebody who doesn't know what he's doing.
I want someone who doesn't understand the Constitution of the United States and doesn't care about it.
Yeah. But can say it repeatedly.
And Jack Conway.
We can have disagreements in this race, but it is never, okay for a man to use physical violence against a woman.
Unless the bitch had it coming, according to Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Unless it's a move-on bitch, and then, you know.
Hey, she was holding a sign, and she disagreed with what was going on public land. And
that deserves a stomp in the head.
Absolutely. And if you let these guys in place, they will make sure that the cops and the soldiers that they put in place and you know, are private, private organizations that will do what they're told. And
Rand Paul.
Yeah, if they need to shut down a newspaper, they can just roll in with their thugs and do that.
Yep.
Welcome to the
Rand
1920s.
Paul on the incident.
I don't want anybody, though, to be involved in things that aren't civil.
Yeah.
I'd say pretty much anybody would say putting a woman's head onto a concrete floor under your boot. Pretty uncivil.
You have a First Amendment right to be stomped on the head if you do something I don't like.
Crooks and Liars, by the way, made an excellent point, which was that at no point did he denounce the violence and say there's no place in politics for violence and that, you know, that's unacceptable. Like, he just said, I don't want anybody involved in anything. And he said it was an example of tension on both sides.
On both sides.
Right. Yeah,
that's what it was.
Too.
A woman holding a sign is tension equal to that woman having her head stomped on a curb.
Like all
that
the
was
Republicans
the same
have
level of incivility. Her and her sign.
Fair and imbalanced.
Yes. This is only Rand Paul's supporters telling of the event.
I saw the woman charging toward Dr. Paul, and then there were several people who either were charging with her or charging at her.
But I thought he wasn't at the scene of the...
I thought he didn't know anything about it.
Yes.
Right.
Funny that.
Okay.
She was charging. That's what she was, with her hands above her head, holding a cardboard sign.
Yeah, charging Dr. Paul.
You know what damage can be inflicted with a sign.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And blonde wig.
Yeah. What's that?
And blonde wig.
I'm fairly certain that at the point at which she was stomped, she was no longer charging. If you look at her, she was laying in a fetal position on the ground after being held by three men.
She wasn't resisting at all.
Yeah, she did not resist.
And after she was down on the ground, then the guy
stepped on her. Right. So the charge was officially over. I mean, I don't know if anybody watches football.
Videotape is such a pesky thing, isn't it?
Limbaugh's right. He put his foot on her shoulder initially to hold her down in place, then stomped on her head with his heel.
Yeah.
Once her head was securely against the concrete so she can get her concussion.
Yeah.
Nice. Thanks. Lori in Chicago. Hi, Lori.
Hi, guys. Per Rush Limbaugh logic, I had an encounter with a teabagger who I could view as an agitator, and I should have had every right to beat him up. A couple of weeks ago, I was outside on my lawn raking my leaves, and a teabagger walked up on my lawn with a red propaganda flyer trying to organize a teabagger meeting. Now, given my politics, I could view that as an agitator, I think. And I really didn't like being approached by him. I didn't like the flyer. I ripped it up in front of him, and I should have been able to kick him and beat him with my rake since I didn't want him around, correct?
He was violating your property rights.
He was actually on your private property, was he not?
Yes.
Yeah, this lady was actually on public property where a public rally was taking place.
It wasn't even a rally. It was a debate you know, between both sides.
Right.
So she had every right to be there.
But based on Rush logic, I could view him as an agitator, so I
could have shot him.
So I should have beat him up, and I could have subjected him to whatever physical harm I wanted to.
Yep.
And I should have been within my rights.
Property.
Yep. That's exactly. The, yeah.
That's Rand Paul's America.
Mm-hmm.
Well, exactly, or Joe Miller's America.
Absolutely.
Where a reporter asking a question apparently.
It's handcuffed by private security thugs on public land at a public event.
Private security thugs with questionable
backgrounds. Racial backgrounds and who work with anti-Semitic websites.
And wear brown shirts.
By the way, this race is close. I'm wondering if this incident is going to affect it. I certainly hope so. Rob in Long Island on the Rand Paul race. Hey, Rob.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Al. I want to tell you real quick, I think you're probably the smartest guy in the room right now.
Oh, that's sweet, but that's so not true.
Well, not necessarily that room, but the general room.
Okay. Oh, thank you. And the greater room of us all. Great. Well, thank you. I appreciate that greatly.
Guys, you got to talk me down on this, because I was a volunteer on the Obama campaign in 08, and I'm watching these things, the Joe Miller thing and the Rand Paul thing, and I'm seeing, I mean, Joe Miller doesn't really have a shot. He's even. He's inside the margin of error, but Rand Paul is outside the margin of error. Is nobody paying attention to what's going on?
He was up 5 in the last poll I saw. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, we'll see how this latest incident plays out. I don't know.
And it's Kentucky. So.
Yeah, I mean, this is the state that, and it's my home state, that's kept Mitch McConnell in there for a while, and he's been so ineffective for the state. That's the ironic part, is that a lot of these guys are terrible for their actual states.
Exactly.
They're great for the national politic part of it. McConnell's been great for the Republican Party as a whole.
Well, I mean, Jim, how about that he comes out and admits the only reason to vote for them is so that Obama can be a one-term president.
Right.
I mean,
the irony is that a lot of people, even I think it was Joel Silver at the statistician, mm-hmm. was saying that essentially this could guarantee, if they do get in, Obama's win in 2012, because people will get a picture of what they would be in for if they got into a presidential situation.
It's like Jim DeMint slipping and going, oh, if we can block health care, that'll be Obama's
Waterloo.
It'll break him. I mean, so really, Mitch McConnell? Really?
Yeah.
With the country and the shape it's in and jobs and all, that's what you want.
They need him to. They have to, because he did the job.
The important thing is making sure the president's a one-term, you know. I mean,
he did the job.
Really.
He cleaned it up. He took a 3-page document from the guys who were running it before, who were going to, you know, for the TARP and to rebuild the economy, and he turned it into a huge program that actually has earned a profit, will turn a profit by the end of it.
Yeah.
And they're now, companies are sitting on $2 trillion worth of wealth, another trillion outside the country, and they know that he's done it. He's essentially pulled us back from the edge, and they're like a person, they're like a cardiac patient who's just had open heart surgery and wants to get up and have a steak and a cigarette. They think it's fine now, mm-hmm. and they want to go right back to what they were doing.
Yep. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, we continue Hump Days with Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
My word, what a gorgeous way to wake up.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the East Stephanie Miller Show. A little pre-election stress.
That is so glee.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Wow, is Charlie Sheen trying to get a job on Joe Miller's private security staff or Rand Paul's?
You know what? I feel like with Charlie Sheen, I'm watching a really slow-motion car crash, and I just want to look away.
Yeah, wow. So that was the breaking news. Actually, here in New York, I've just walked by the Plaza Hotel a few times already. The police were called after he trashed his hotel suite in a drunken rage. He was taken to the hospital, right? He was also with an unidentified woman.
Well, his people
accused of stealing his wallet. Fill in the hole. The blank.
His people are saying it wasn't a drunken rage. It was a reaction to...
No, his people say he had an allergic reaction to some medication.
Yeah, allegedly a drunken rage, please.
A reaction to the horse stealing his wallet? Is that what...
Yes. Yes, and most guys do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's the thing.
We don't know.
First of all, none of my business. I don't care what he does in his private life. He's a sitcom star and a movie star, and I like him. I like his work, but mm-hmm. I just don't care. But secondly, if you have that much money, anybody can steal your wallet. Get on with it. You can have new cards there by 2.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
There's no reason to trash the hotel room unless you're looking for it and you're really absent-minded.
You're a rock and roller. Have you ever trashed a hotel room?
Nope.
No?
Waste of time.
That's so
there's better use for a hotel bed
than
bouncing the TV off of it.
D-listed is very rude, of course, on this story.
Very rude in general.
Yes, some hoes like to end a day with, well, actually, because apparently he was in town for a family trip with his ex-wife, Denise Richards.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And
delisted writing, some hoes like to end a day with the family by sucking on a bong filled with whatever in a Calgon bath, but Charlie likes to end it by snorting a speedball off a whore's labia before beating up a chandelier.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
No.
We don't have any information. That's
so what
true.
Do they do in their free time? My issue is always, in any of these groups, look, I have to follow those guys around at delisted with a camera crew for at least a month and a half to know that they don't live in a glass house.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's always my issue. Like,
but they're funny writers.
All right.
They're funny.
Fine.
Okay.
Doug in Sarasota.
Cruel,
you're on
maybe.
The Stephanie Miller Show.
We'll see.
Hello, Doug.
Hey, what's going on?
Hiya.
Not much. Go ahead. Caller.
Well, welcome aboard.
I just want to say, hey, Stephanie, you're definitely sexy. Oh.
Don't
say yourself short on that. But I want to say in Florida, we have this crazy Senate race going on, and there's a lot of progressives like me. Don't know whether to vote for Kendrick Meek or Charlie Crist, and I just wondered what your guys' opinion was. Should we vote early, vote for Kendrick Meek, you know, vote for our heart, we know is the best candidate, or should we wait till Election Day?
Yeah, did you watch the debate on CNN?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I actually think Kendrick Meek is a great candidate. I didn't know a lot about him. But what is the, I don't even know what the, I mean, he's, Rubio's way far ahead, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, it's like 20% for Kendrick Meade, 26% for Charlie Crist, and 39% for Rubio.
That's pretty far ahead.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, except that, that's the thing. You still got to get out and vote, and I think you have to.
I think that's what's happening in this situation. It's a good example of a split Democratic vote.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are divided over. They liked Crist. They think he's a solid guy. They weren't a big fan of him when he was leaning right. But he evened out and moderated quite a bit. And Kendrick Meek was just, again, we talked about this before, but the talk about losing the name game on the Democratic Republican side.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
They were always running people like, newbie Meek, and they're running people like John Stronghorn.
Yeah.
If only we could combine them into Kendrick Christ.
Yeah.
And then get the votes,
Well, I mean, but look at, Doug, I was going to say, certainly the common wisdom months ago is that Charlie Crist was going to run away with this, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what everybody was saying, but Kendrick Meek, he's come back in this race. Bill Clinton's been down here for him and Barack Obama.
Right.
Yeah, I think the switch, I think a lot of people will drift toward Crist, and if you're really looking to give Rubio a run for his money, that's the direction to go in a lot of ways. I like Meek as well, but I just don't see it happening, and I think the way Crist has been treated, I think you can count on him to be genuinely independent on a bunch of issues.
Right.
The only thing that concerns me is his closet status. Like
it's like the Alaska race. It's just it may come down to which will make Sarah Palin's head explode more.
Right.
Which piss off the teabaggers.
Yeah. Speaking of teabaggers, our intrepid reporter Shano has found a clip from Fox News from the very beginning of the Tea Party movement, where Griff Jenkins calls them teabaggers. Hold on.
Modern-day tea parties are popping up all across the nation.
The Florida Tea Party, the Ohio Tea Party, the Vancouver, Washington Tea Party. They're going to try and send teabags to D.C. D.C. Teabagged the White House.
Well,
teabag
the White House.
Yeah. Well, Jim said it right. They called themselves that until they found out that it was something dirty.
Wait a minute.
They stopped, but it was too late. It's like, you already called yourselves teabaggers.
Yep.
Damn liberal conspiracy to make us say things that we didn't understand.
The most fun is when I say it on Larry King, and that teabag lady, Dana Loesch, is there, and she just starts sputtering.
Yeah.
Pretty much every time asks Larry to kick me off live on the air. Larry, how can we? You're not supposed to call. How you let her on this show?
God damn it!
Oh, it's great. He's always like, Dana, calm down.
Hello.
All right, Nancy in Buffalo. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Excuse me. I just wanted to say that this woman who was brutalized at this Ron Paul demonstration or rally or whatever it was, she had a sign which Ron Paul's followers didn't agree with. And so what happened to her was really what you would call repression. And I think it shows that Rand Paul is not for freedom. He's for repression.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Exactly. That is for the physical repression
of
free speech.
I'm for the freedom of people to agree with me on everything.
Mm-hmm. And if they don't, my private security will step on their necks.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny because this is what they are accusing. If you listen to Glenn Beck talk, this is what they're accusing Obama of doing with policy.
Right.
And they're not even doing it with policy. They're doing it in actuality.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Stepping on the necks of... Oh, wait, we did that.
Wait a minute. Right.
Sandy in Seattle on Ron Paul. Hey, Sandy.
Hi. Interested to see that Clinton and President Obama were stumping for Democratic candidates.
Mm-hmm.
But where's Ron Paul? He doesn't seem to be out there stumping for his son.
Not at all.
Yeah, his son is too crazy even for him, yeah. I think. Yeah, it's...
Ron Paul actually makes sense about half the time.
Yes, I know, he does,
maybe
exactly.
Maybe even 60% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it live from New York City this week. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. Mama on the Ed Show on MSNBC is up in the video section from last night. And of course, we are humping with Hal Sparks as we do on hump days.
Oh, yeah.
In the Los Angeles Bureau. And video streaming at HalSparks.com.
He's got some color because he was just in Hawaii for a week.
I was.
That was a story. He came from Kenya. That's why he was late this morning.
Great.
Tiny bubbles in the water.
Oh, my God. Dude, do not. Seriously. Every elevator, every mall, everything. You just want to be like, when I went to Scotland, I wanted to buy every bagpipe I saw.
So and burn it.
I did. And then when I went to, but in Hawaii, every ukulele, I just wanted to jump up and down on it with both feet.
A bonfire.
It's so sweet. And, you know,
just hit it against the wall like an animal house.
It's yeah. Totally. Yeah.
More Poe than in Charlie Sheen's hotel room. But
right,
you know.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a Don Ho joke. Okay. Kids. Okay, let's, where's my Hollywood music? Time for some celebrity stack. You know how I desperately still have a dream, Chris.
Oh.
I know it's late and all, but look, Lisa Murkowski is doing a write-in, a candidacy up in Alaska.
Right.
Is it too late for Randy and Evie Quaid to become write-in teabag candidates somewhere?
That would be beautiful.
They are so crazy.
They are a special kind of crazy.
But they're kind of a wily, smart kind of crazy. Because they skipped out on that huge bill, like
right.
$10,000.
And then Sid Ranch.
Then
yeah.
They got, like, for a year, they're fugitives. They're running from the law. And they basically what they did was they went all the way up to the point of where they were going to court and they were going to be sentenced the next day. And then they went to the person who owned the hotel and said, look, we'll pay the bill. If you put us in jail, we're not going to pay it. But we'll pay the bill tonight if you drop the charges. And then it all went away.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Wow.
It's just like a prank.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
And then they went and lived in a house that they had owned years earlier because they think there was some sort of paperwork mistake.
And then they say that the star whackers are after them, so they need to stay in Canada.
Yes, that's the breaking news. Yeah. Randy and Evie Quaid, who got caught in Vancouver on Thursday afternoon, pleaded with Canada's immigration board to not send them back to the U.S. to face vandalism charges. Evie told the board that Hollywood has already murdered their friends Heath Ledger and David Carradine, and she's afraid it will wrap its leather-gloved hands around Cousin Eddie's head and neck next. Randy Quaid is afraid.
Okay.
Star whackers.
She's a star whacker, star whacker, star whacker, star whacker, star.
That's not the word they know. That's the song.
Brett Favre. So he says he did do the voicemails, but not the blank picture.
Oh, no.
Not the penis picture.
Right. No.
What's that?
That was somebody else.
Well,
I always tweet a stunt penis whenever I'm texting. I think it's just good policy.
Well, especially when you have a stunt penis of that size.
Oh, you're gonna get a bigger one.
No, not you, not you. Like, him. Hey. No, he's. It's kind of famous for being
small.
Well,
mine is quite respectable.
He wasn't asking about yours.
Does the job.
The superficial writing. Then again, I'd probably put a gun in my mouth before admitting to masturbating in a pair of Crocs, which that probably is the more
not in a pair of Crocs while wearing Crocs.
Yeah, right. Crocs. That's a Dick Morris kind of a thing. Actually, into a pair of Crocs. Yeah, like Dick Morris would do. Allegedly.
Here's good news for here's good news for women that want to look exactly like Edgar Winter. Madonna is opening a chain of fitness centers around the world to be known as Hard Candy Fitness Global Centers.
Yeah.
Something. She's a little too sinewy, isn't she?
Yeah.
For my taste. I'm just saying.
I told you. At that point, you only got one option, and that's taut.
Yeah, she's like, she's like beef jerky.
The reason men traditionally age better than women is because it's acceptable for a man to look leathery and sinewy as he gets older. That's the best we can do. But women are not allowed somehow.
At that age, you can't be supple.
And I'm fine with that. You know what I mean? If she's going to have a visible tricep at that age, she's cougarific. I'm excited, and I wouldn't pass up the opportunity. One of the best ways you can get an A-list woman is wait till she crests a little, as Doug said. Stanhope
catch
says,
her on the downward way.
Wait till they're on the brown side of ripe.
Man. All right.
Stephanie, are you on the brown side of ripe?
Listen, I am certainly on the downward spiral. I've been for quite some time. Now, boys, who is your favorite woman in an erectile dysfunction commercial?
Ooh.
Because it's hard to choose, isn't it? The woman in the side-by-side bathtubs or the one that ends up near the waterfall.
Or the one who's getting it up against the washing machine. Have you seen that commercial?
Yeah. The one...
I like the one where the guy's showing her a bowl of tomatoes and they show her breasts in the shot. I
said, tomatoes, get it? Because we're appealing to a time when men referred to breasts as tomatoes and only a certain group would get that. Right.
The star of an erectile dysfunction commercial has been kicked out of her church in Australia until the ad comes off the air. Libby Ashby said she has been disfellowshipped from her local congregation for appearing in the erectile dysfunction ad.
Strange.
Jim, you run into some of those guys that have done them, don't you,
big
when you
Trump
go on...
Actually, I know one of them.
And they always, don't they always take pains to go, I'm just an actor.
I know
I'm
two
just
of
an actor.
Them, actually. Yeah.
I don't really have the thing, the erectile thing.
I don't know what the problem is. She's a fine Sheila and not at all stuck up.
Why don't we call you Bruce to avoid confusion?
Your name not Bruce, then. Sorry.
All right.
Very heavy one. Best suited to hand-to-hand combat.
What?
Never mind. Monty Python. Trust us. It's
can I have
delicious.
Some scary music?
Speaking of Monty Python, though, it's John Cleese's birthday.
Yes.
Happy birthday, John.
Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, I think, as well.
Oh.
It's weird.
Curious.
Sesame Street viewers sense a gay-friendly vibe this season.
Now?
Yeah, just now?
Bert and Ernie? For 40 years now?
They still contend, Sesame Street contends Bert and Ernie are not gay. They have never marched in a gay pride parade or plastered a rainbow sticker on the Oscar the Grouch's trash can. Sesame Workshop has always contended they're just friends who happen to live together and sleep side by side in well-tailored pajamas.
But did you see what Bert tweeted?
Well, that's what all the buzz is about.
I know.
Yes.
What did Bert tweet?
Yes. On June 11th, the monobrowed Muppet tweeted about the premiere of the recent A-Team remake. He said, ever notice how similar my hair is to Mr. T's? The only difference is mine is a little more Moe, a little less Hawk.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
To which some could be...
Interesting.
Think it's an...
Moe is a slang
joke.
And homo.
Yes. Moe is slang for homo.
Sending
sexual
a secret coded message, which no one could... Possibly.
No. Gay bloggers rejoiced. Ellen Lewis, Sesame Workshop Vice President of Corporate Communications, said Sesame Street is not consciously trying to appeal to the gay viewers. So we'll leave that up to you.
Just like the teabaggers weren't consciously, well, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Curious. Well, I'm just saying that they have the same sleeping arrangement that Lucy and Desi had.
Yes.
And she ended up pregnant.
That's right.
And Robin Laura Petrie.
Right.
Okay. This is good news for various, I don't know, housekeepers and assistants scattered about the globe. Naomi Campbell likes to take regular holidays so she doesn't lose control. Isn't that nice?
She says, know your limitations. Absolutely.
Sure.
She was probably too close
to vacation when the previous incidents happened.
Yeah, but she still loses control, so it's obviously not working.
But vacation from
I need a break every 6 weeks. You need a break every 6 weeks?
Exactly.
And you need a break from standing there getting your picture taken?
Yeah, exactly.
For millions of dollars? When I overwork myself, I lose control. She also insisted she's not a diva, which no one has to insist unless they are, in fact, a diva.
Right.
She currently lives in Russia and doesn't miss being in London, as she always carries her favorite shawl.
Huh?
She said, I always have crystals, a Bible, and a shawl. Oh, or weapons, depending.
Yeah.
She has some.
Does the Bible have a gun in it? Because it's like you're in Russia.
Crystals have some heft to it. You can toss those.
It's a KGB Bible.
Right.
Kalashnikov.
Anything you can smack people
inside
with.
Inside this USB stick and rifle. You can assemble small assassin rifle and USB stick for insurance of who the target is.
Okay. Finally, in celebrity stack, in honor of the crazy teabaggers in the midterms, Victoria Jackson is the craziest crazy.
My
right-wing crazy car. Is she not?
How is it? By the way, how is it that we get the liberal Hollywood thing thrown at us all the time, and they can't wait to drag her and John Voight all over the globe?
Yeah.
And Ron Silver when he was alive. And, you know, like, anytime they can get a celebrity, they squeeze the crap out of them. Our show up at dinners and don't want their picture taken. They just give money and try to get people to vote. Theirs are, like, doing cartwheels in front of the Lincoln Memorial.
This is a special kind of crazy. So she has written another screed on Andrew Breitbart's website.
That, yes.
Where do we even start? Okay, so she wrote a letter to Gloria Estefan for holding a fundraiser for Barack Obama or some for a Democratic fundraiser of some sort. This is just Chris, I'm not even sure what kind of music I need for this. Maybe, I guess, Gloria Estefan, something. So, Victoria Jackson writes, so I'm sitting in my local diner staring at a pair of gorgeous breasts that are hovering over my husband's face. As the 20-year-old waitress takes our lunch order, she purrs, ready? I think she just winked at him. He pretends not to notice. I'm in the middle of a good story about my wonderful recent trip to the Arizona Freedom Rally.
Oh, God.
The main thing about the story, it just makes me think what kind of hell it must be to be Mr. Victoria Jackson. Have to listen to that voice tell endless stories about teabagger rallies. The beautiful 20-year-old breasts return. I'm distracted from my story again. My husband pretends not to notice the breasts. I clear my throat and continue. Paul, I sent my letter to the Miami Herald. Do you want to read it? Paul knows he must pay attention to me, so he pushes his plate aside and begins to read. Do you think he was just basically thinking, death, where is thy sting?
Yeah.
Now, must I listen to this and now I have to read? Okay, so here is her letter. Dear Gloria Estefan, Miami is my hometown. America and its freedom, free enterprise, and capitalism gave you the opportunity to become a superstar, to be financially and vocationally successful. America is now under siege by a Marxist, progressive, leftist, radical, socialist, communist dictator drunk with power. His name is Obama. You invited him to your home for a Democratic fundraiser.
Wow.
Do you just, would you give anything to see the expression on Gloria Estefan's face when she gets this letter?
Didn't she immigrate from Cuba?
Yes.
Communism Cuba? She would know what communists are.
Yes.
And Obama
said,
it.
She writes, you had the audacity to invite this communist over to your home to raise money for the Democratic Party, which is controlling Congress and giving him unlimited power to achieve his goal of making our once-free country a welfare state, just like
once
the Cuba
free?
You left.
Wow.
You are either uninformed, ignorant, or crazy.
Wow.
Sincerely, Victoria Jackson, Saturday
Project
Night Live. Saturday Night Live cast member, 1986 to 1982, because of capitalism and freedom. And apparently the standards were somewhat lower
Wait,
than.
1986 to
1982? 1992.
Oh, okay, 1992, okay.
Mm-hmm. She was on that show that long?
Wow.
Apparently. Jeez. Paul takes his glasses off, places the letter carefully to the side, and I say, so what do you think? Paul says, it's confrontational, and once again, probably wonders where death's sting might be. Yeah.
She seems to be really obsessed with breasts, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, she also clearly teeters on the brink of madness. If you listen to her talk, and this is, and this may be biochemical, but there's clearly something really wonky. And the baby voice thing is always
baby
a
voice.
Yeah, is always a
That's
red
a
flag.
I'm really trying hard not to reveal my real self.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you had to see that part of me.
Right.
Exactly. 18 minutes after the hour. All right. Oh, boy. 18 minutes after the hour, right back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Be a reporter, not an opinion person.
It would never occur to me to think of myself as anything other than a reporter.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours.
issue, but I would need a considerable financial remuneration. And of course, all bets are off if you are lactose intolerant.
Thank you very much, Jim. The old William F. Buckley singing Milkshake. Why? We don't know.
Because it's funny.
It's incongruous. After the hour. You see, and that's why it's funny. Because it's someone that would not normally sing in that style. Okay. 1-800.
I'm so glad we straightened that out.
Let's go to Victor in Reno. Let's see what's happening with the big Harry Reid, Sharon Angle fight over there. Victor in Reno.
Hi. Just three quick points, Steffi. I like you guys, but the absolute nuttiness of the other side has scared you into being shills for the Democratic Party.
Yes, absolutely. The nuttiness of Sharon Angle.
Well, I could support a few Dems out there today, but as long as that party keeps winning, you're never going to have a real progressive agenda. Second point.
Good idea. If T-Bag is in, it'll get the agenda much more progressive if you vote for T-Bag.
That's not a point. That's an opinion, and it's based on the idea that somehow if you stop voting, this is the thing the GOP was pushing Latin voters to do. Right. Latino voters in Arizona and in New Mexico saying don't vote at all because that'll show them.
The Democratic Party is applying an anesthetic to the middle class while the corporations keep operating on it. This is more like the situation than like the comparable to the 1850s when slavery was the crisis issue. The Dems try to have it both ways, and what happened is
the policies
of another party called the Republican Party, and that's what's really called for here. What you need to do is
I want to hear what you're going to do. You need to do what? You need to not vote, or you're going to vote Republican.
Vote green or vote for somebody else like that.
Well,
but
good.
You know what? If the crazies get in, you will feel pain, no doubt about it. But if that middle class, that 40% in the middle that sways one way or the other, really feels the pain, then you're going to have a real progressive revolution.
You're willing to risk everybody's welfare for that. See, this is
even
Helen. I'm glad you're here today because this is the thing. I've gone off. There's a number of reasons why people are saying that just infuriates me. And there was a story the other day about a lot of gay people say they're going to stay home or they're going to vote green or they're going to. And I'm like, are you kidding me? We are really at a tipping point.
You
want to
hand the reins. You want to hand the reins over to the Sarah Palin Republicans.
They could do irreparable damage. I mean, literally irreparable damage.
And there's
no going back.
That's what they have been doing. And one of the reasons they've been doing it is because Democrats and progressives tend to not be able to sustain two election cycles in a row. Mm-hmm. And whereas the Republicans and the Tea Party crowd, who used to be, by the way, the moral majority, it's the same crowd of people. It's the militia members meets the hyper Christians against the gays and the onslaught of other races, and this is what they've been rallying against for years.
It makes no sense. People that wanted a public option aren't going to vote, or they're going to vote green, and then it's like, oh, okay, and then they're going to repeal or defund the health care that we have.
In a parliamentary
democracy, it makes no sense.
In a parliamentary democracy, you can vote for a third party and have it have some sway. They form coalitions with one party or another.
Right.
Here, it doesn't make sense. It's winner take all.
Yep. Exactly.
Right. I understand the frustration on the pace of movement on gay rights, and yet, really, you're going to hand the reins over to people that think it's an identity disorder, it's like alcoholism, they don't think gays should be allowed to teach in public schools, it's not a valid or successful lifestyle. I mean, on and on and on. You know what I mean? It
makes
silly.
Crazy. Here's the thing. If you really believe that, go look at your local candidate. I guarantee his local candidate is a lot more progressive than he's given him credit for. And what he's doing is kind of spouting, sort of a nationalistic idea that, like, what we really need is a green. Well, you know what? Fine. Run as a green.
Yeah. By the way, the other breaking news, if you want further evidence of what these people are like, not only can you see the video of a Rand Paul supporter stepping on a woman's head that was he would like an apology from her. Did you see that? Yes.
Well, he was only
I would like
on
for her
head.
To apologize to me. Right. And also, he claimed that the reason he had his foot on her because he has a bad back.
Yes.
And he couldn't bend over, to
punch her.
Yes.
I don't know. So, I had to stop because I have a bad back. I can't reach over and punch her because I might throw I might slip a disc.
if I punch her in the face like I wanted to.
Yeah. He would like to her to apologize for getting her head stuck under his foot. Okay. Wow. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Steffi Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Not my first time on the merry-go-round, Chief. Not going to do it. Staying like this, serious and horny.
What's that from?
I don't know. I just can't think of anything but an iPhone ad with that music going on. Speaking of which, by the way, the Hal Sparks iPhone app is available on iTunes. You can watch the show on it. You can watch Hump Days with Hal on it when I stream live.
Nice. And they're going like hotcakes, so get it before it's
they
gone.
They are. That's the reviews are off the charts. Everybody loves it.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Wow. So right before the break, we were talking about staying home or voting green or blah, 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 just to send a message. And we were saying specifically as it relates in some ways, in some instances, to gay folks that are, you know, disgruntled or with the pace of change and yada, yada. Wow. How's about you put Tony Perkins and his friends in charge? Tony.
Yeah. No, mother blood, no. Norman, you've been a very bad boy. Get out of the bathroom. Give someone else a chance.
No, the smell some air freshener.
Not that guy. The guy.
Light a match, Norman.
Research Bible thing.
Yeah, the Family Research Council.
Yeah, how really, really odious is this? Family Research Council President Tony Perkins recently gave... yes, you can take your organ out. Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. He recently gave an unsympathetic diagnosis for the recent surge in teen suicides due to anti-gay bullying. They resort to extreme measures because they're battling the internal understanding that homosexuality is, in fact, abnormal.
Tony Perkins is a bastard.
Yeah.
He said there's no correlation between inacceptance of homosexuality and depression and suicide.
I'm sure that's...
He said these young people who identify as gay and lesbian, we know from social science that they have a higher propensity to depression or suicide because of that internal conflict. No, we don't know from social science.
No, we don't.
It's directly related to anti-gay bullying.
Maybe social science from 1962.
Right, exactly, when it was still in the books as a mental disorder.
Right, right.
Yes, he said homosexuality is abnormal and kids know it, which leads them to despair. This is why he wants to confront gay activism in schools, like, you know, teaching not bullying and just,
bully them, in other words.
Yeah, and explain to me the suicide rate among autistic kids or something.
Gay rights groups are exploiting the concern over anti-gay bigotry to build momentum for their movement.
Ah.
I see.
Not just to keep teenagers from killing themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
He is evil to the core.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's God's great plan for homosexuals to have them bullied.
Yeah, that's why. And this, you know, this is like journalism. Apparently, they ran his pieces, you know, in this paper as, we want to show both sides. Oh, it's like there's a side where it's okay. Oh, good. The right kids are killing themselves.
It's okay for kids to kill themselves.
Are there two sides to that issue?
And if you try to stop them from killing themselves, somehow you're working some sort of agenda. Again.
Interrupting God's plan.
Right. If you're holding someone underwater and trying to drown them, when they fight back, that's not an agenda. You're the one with the agenda when you're holding them underwater. You have a plan to exterminate them. You have a plan to get rid of them. Them just wanting to be alive is not an agenda.
You know, certainly gay kids can never hope to have as valid and successful a lifestyle as Clarence Thomas, for instance. Lillian McEwen, who was Clarence Thomas's ex-girlfriend, who they used as a character witness during his hearing to become a Supreme Court justice.
But they never subpoenaed her.
Uh-huh.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, she basically corroborated the Anita Hill story. Mm-hmm. This is her on Larry King.
I suppose I would call it a fetish or a hobby. It was on that kind of a level. It was...
porn.
Something that was very important to him, something that he talked about, but to me it was boring and I was uninterested in it.
Yeah, porn. She was speaking of porn there.
And apparently he would get really drunk and watch a lot of porn, and then she left him when he stopped drinking.
That wasn't any fun anymore.
Yeah. Right. So,
because he was still doing the same behavior, he just wasn't drunk and didn't have an excuse.
Right.
That happens a lot.
She's like, you're just a pig. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I thought you were drinking.
I thought it was booze, drinking. But,
No. You're like this when you're sober all the time. Yeah. And he would forward a lot of bestiality. Oh, this is his big thing.
Yeah. Which is a much more.
That's where Carl Palladino got it.
Big Mama in Florida. Hello, Big Mama.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
All
right. I wanted to give a shout out to you and give a shout out to Hal because I love both of you guys. You're the best.
Thank you.
I wanted to bring up about the Meek scenario.
Sure.
I know how you pointed out, you said, you know, go for Chris.
Well, Hal said that. I feel like if, you know, all Democrats would get active in Florida, I mean,
right.
Meek could win. If, you know, Democrats really would...
strictly on numbers, dear, because I think Meek is a genuinely good guy and a solid candidate.
He is. He is. And as a matter of fact, I went to Sam with him, okay? So I've known him for several decades, okay? Just mm-hmm. around the way, but I've known him, okay? You know, he... When it comes to, you know, his other candidates, He really is the real deal, okay? And he's untainted, I guess is a good way of saying it, as opposed to the others. And I really want to keep hope alive and really think that he can, you know, overcome this adversity when it comes to these other two guys. And he's just a really great guy. He really
yep.
is.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. You know, in fact, George in Tempe has a good point on the Florida race. Hey, George.
Yeah, you know, it's not the Florida race, but just in general, the guy who called before and said that, you know, he's disenfranchised with the Democratic Party, should vote green right. or whatever. I appreciate what he's saying, but, you know, that experiment was tried before. It was Ralph Nader in 2000. Look how
right.
that worked
mm-hmm.
out. And it yep. just doesn't make sense. I mean, we wind up with George Bush, and you think it's going to get any better if it happens this time. It's just not. And we've got, you know, we've got some really tight races here in Arizona, and I am really freaked out because we're already, you know, bat poop crazy here.
Right.
It's just
going to
get worse. So right. you can't stay home and you can't vote green. You got to vote for the Dems. You have
yep,
to.
Totally. And
yep.
if you
yep,
look at
it, do it,
by the way, you know, not to question everybody's genuineness when they call in, but there is, believe me, there is a concerted effort right now of people calling into shows that are sitting at phone banks trying to disenfranchise
right.
and demoralize the Democratic Party, keep
right.
people
yep.
from showing up.
Karl Rove's organization
totally.
Is doing
mm-hmm.
that big time.
And they're going,
yep.
you know what, normally I would do this, but in this case, forget mm-hmm. it, blah, blah. And look,
just don't vote.
PSYOPs. If you're going to support Greens, then you shouldn't even be having this conversation, you know, 5 days before an election. You should be having it 2 years ago
right.
or expecting 2 years from now to grow the Green Party in your county, in your town, mm-hmm. and whatever into a legit franchise. But you don't just not vote for the options in this one to make a point
right.
about whether
out of
or not
spite.
It's silly.
Yeah.
It's
oh,
just
as,
silly.
As I was saying, in a parliamentary democracy, third parties actually have a role to play.
Right.
They form coalitions
right.
with the winning and, you know, party. And
yeah, in our country, it's to get more asshat Republicans elected.
Right.
Totally.
Destroy
That's
our country.
The only reason people don't want you to vote for a Democrat this year, this time around, is because they support the Republican candidate. That's the
Snowy.
Only reason.
It's Snowy and Joplin. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey,
go ahead.
Two topics, if I could. First off, weren't the Republicans complaining about the Democrats not manning up? Well, it's nice to see the other side manning up by stomping a woman into the ground.
Yeah,
huh?
That's, right.
That's
how you show your man. Yeah.
That's it, man. And secondly, whose birthday was it today?
John Cleese.
John Cleese.
No, it isn't.
Fawlty Towers. What? No?
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. No, it isn't.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. This is an argument. This is contradiction.
Oh,
see?
You see?
He did the argument clinic. Okay. I
don't know. This is being hit on the head lessons in here.
Sorry. This is abuse.
No, it isn't.
Speaking of argumentative and, cranky, John McCain, grumpy on the midterms. And leaving.
Unemployment, 9.6%. Homes underwater. All of the things that are the legacy of this president, and I think it'll be a strong repudiation with the election of John Rasin.
Towns
yeah.
underwater?
He's
I said
he's,
homes.
Grampy's you know,
homes
a,
and houses.
Grampy's he's trying to imply that that's the president's policy, but that's not the policy.
It's not the policy. It's not the policy. Not the policy. Not the policy. Mayday, mayday, mayday. Eject, eject.
Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Tim.
Good morning. You know, I was watching Rachel Maddow last night and just seeing the Tea Party people out there supporting Miller and listening to her interview some of them about, you know, what they're supporting and or why they want to go for the Tea Party and hearing that one guy sit there and say, oh, we're against, you know, look at Holder and look how he's when he was a candidate, he was anti-gun and everything like that. He was never a candidate. He was appointed. And you look at what they're speaking and how they're speaking and what they're talking about, they don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they listen to Fox News, they listen to Glenn Beck, they listen to Rush Limbaugh, they get their right-wing talking points, and that's all they follow. They don't do any research, and I think it shows that they are just, you know, they don't know what's going on in this country. I think they're just a bunch of angry white guys and white women who just are angry because of President Obama's in office and he's a Muslim.
Yes, and we all know how productive just completely uncontrolled blind rage is.
Yeah, right. Well, and again, you know, the idea that somehow this particular group represents, the hardcore America, and that most Americans are, we're all angry about the same thing. The president's got a disapproval rating of this. Well, half those people are people who want him to be more progressive,
exactly.
More liberal.
Yep. More than half, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mark in San Antonio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Well, you know, the guy that called in about staying home, the idea of sending a message to the Democrats by staying home because the Democrats are lame doesn't work, because if they're not elected, they're going to go, oh, you know, we weren't elected. We need to go further right.
Yeah.
I agree that the Democrats are lame, but they're that kind of lame, you know? They're going to go further right.
Everybody does. They always drift towards the right.
You're going to get less progressive, more scared Democrats with less spine.
The message you're sending is, we want Republicans to win. That
yes.
may not be what you intended, but that's
oh,
the
we went too
to
far
be,
left. We need to moderate more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, and yeah, that's exactly right. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, the waning moments of Hump Days with Hal as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun, it's healthy, it's good exercise. The kids just love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tomorrow, David Eisenhower, grandson of Dwight Eisenhower.
That's right. Eisenhower.
To talk about the new book that he authored with Julie Nixon Eisenhower.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, this isn't Eisenhower's party anymore. And as we mentioned, Reagan would be teabagged into the next election cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not anybody's party anymore except a bunch of crazies.
At least Eisenhower, helped to build the interstate system.
Yeah, and he had to use national security to
yes,
make it happen.
Right. That's terribly socialist.
Oof. By the way, did you see Sharon Angle has a new, they have a new way of not talking to reporters. She used a decoy.
Yes, I saw that.
Looks like her, except for Clara from Bewitched.
Oh, my
God. Who could
be
actually a Sharon
Angle. So she's using Saddam Hussein tactics.
Exactly. Wow.
She gave Nevada reporters the slip employing a decoy to dodge the attack of... This is the most ridiculous election cycle ever.
Can we just, bring Vegas into California and just the rest of Nevada.
No, we love Reno.
Reno. We love Reno.
Okay. KJFK is a fine affiliate of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah.
Maybe we could just airlift KJFK out.
You know what we are? For all practical purposes, we are, essentially, because Anaheim and Las Vegas are going to be interconnected by a high-speed maglev train that Obama suggested in his first budget, was ridiculed for, and now a Chinese company, a Chinese bank, is funding to the tune of $9 billion.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get all the revenue from it.
Did you guys see Rand Paul's actual comments on Fox News on this? This really, I have to say, it does lend more credence to this anti-woman storyline. Mm-hmm. First of all, he has never denied this incident. He just says it's ridiculous to bring it up. He's never said that it didn't happen.
Right.
But, you know, and that, along with a lot of his, you know, anti-woman policies, I mean, this whole, I just can't believe this, the way he said, oh, there's a bit of a crowd control problem. I don't think anybody should be involved in things that aren't civil. And then he said, it's an unusual situation to have so many people so passionate on both sides jockeying back and forth. That's what he just dismissed it as. It was jockeying back and forth.
Everybody
and the woman
does it.
Attacked the man.
Mm-hmm. It's all the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Ken Buck, Chris.
Is that who you are or what you like to do?
Thank you. I love this. They call themselves the Party of the Constitution, but apparently it's just what they kind of seem to have a vague sense is in the Constitution.
They don't care, for the 14th Amendment so much.
He said, I disagree strongly with the concept of separation of church and state. Well, it's not a concept. It's in the Constitution.
Yes, it's the first thing
in
the Constitution.
It's not in the First Amendment.
It's the first thing in the First Amendment. That's how important they thought it was.
It's in
the First Amendment? What?
No. It's not in there.
All right. Break out your little tiny shoes and get ready to, your little tiny white shoes and get ready to dance on the bar. Pukey, Drunky McPuke Shoes trial starts on Tuesday. Tom DeLay.
Oh, great.
Remember all the Crookie McQuickersons that were in charge? He is set to face trial in Texas on Tuesday, 4 years after he resigned over allegations that he illegally funded money to Republican candidates in the state legislature. You know why? Because he illegally funded money to Republican candidates in the state legislature.
Be sure to watch me on Dancing with the Perps.
All right. One last breaking news fun stack out of Wisconsin. You know that the Republicans always trying to think of the children. Why do I think this might be Republicans? Video shows Wisconsin man at a dominatrix sex party with his kids.
Oh. Wow.
He's being investigated for taking his kids to a dominatrix sex party. Police, let's see, the investigation began when a woman contacted police about a videotape she found in her home. It featured her 29-year-old ex-boyfriend in a dungeon or castle-themed suite with another man and three women. Oh. When the camera panned over, the police report says it revealed a child age two or younger, and then the video showed yet another child.
Oh, wow.
If you can't get a babysitter, don't go to the sex dungeon.
Exactly.
You know.
Parenting
101. The video featured the women whipping men, the men in a sexual manner. The report says the children were not involved in the acts.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Well, that makes it good.
Yeah, they were just, you know, there.
Wow.
Oh, boy. And they don't want the gays to have kids.
You need to have a license to have kids.
That's, yeah.
All right.
I don't have kids because so I can go to a sex dungeon if I so choose.
Exactly. Okay, let's go to Tim in Detroit. Kids ruin all your sex dungeon fun.
That's right.
That's what the Republicans think, I guess. Yes. I always listen to this caller talking about not voting for Democrats. I mean, is he kidding? We have Wall Street reform. We have the health care bill that got passed. We have Lilly Ledbetter. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't get progressive stuff done if you don't put in Democrats.
The GI Bill.
That's right.
Absolutely. And then, by the way, there are three women serving on the Supreme Court right now, the largest number to ever serve at once, and two of them are because of this president specifically.
Yeah, oh, as soon as Rand Paul gets in there, I'm sure he'll be their most pro-feminist senator ever.
I wonder if Tom Brokaw ever reported on, I'm better.
Rand Paul wouldn't just question a female Supreme Court justice. He would probably, if he didn't like her answers, he would, you know,
step
on her head.
Or pay someone else to do it.
Exactly. Bill, wrong answer.
I'm crushing your head. I'm crushing your head.
No, seriously, I'm crushing your head.
Yeah.
Bill in Paso Robles.
Oh, yeah, hi, Steph.
Hi, Bill.
Yeah, I picked up this idea from listening to the chattering class the last couple of days, and I thought I'd run it by you and the Mooks and Smart Hal there. And it's the idea that if the Republicans do take the House, it could be a good thing, especially for Obama. That is, it would, you know, it would give Obama a foil in terms of the, the obstinate bunch of, Yahoo Republicans in the House. It would force a lot out of Obama. It would put the spotlight on the whole thing, as it were.
It might be good for 2012, but it's a huge risk.
Yeah, that's you're absolutely right in that. That has often been the case, by the way, in presidents who've been reelected. They've lost in their midterms, and then they've won their second term because of that, almost specifically, because the other side goes, if we were in charge, we'd do this, this, and this.
Yeah, I love this supposition that we would have a country we still recognize after putting teabaggers in charge for 2 years.
But then, if you start seeing literally the bills that Rand Paul would have to introduce to keep the people who voted for him happy would almost guarantee Obama's reelection.
Thank you, Smart Hal, as opposed to Shallow Hal.
Yeah,
that's two different. That's please.
And you would never be hypnotized by Tony.
Why Robert. Would you have to? Can you?
Oh. Joe in El Segundo said using the word teabagger is the same as us saying the N-word. Hello, Joe. Hi, Joe.
Really?
Joe? Oh, damn it.
Oh, he's not there.
Damn it. He would have been a really fun cat toy to play
Joe.
With.
All right. Really?
Josh in Charleston, South Carolina. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing this morning?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, well, I just wanted to call you and say hello from Charleston. I'm one of the six liberals that live in this city.
Oh, there are more than that there. Mm-hmm. There are a whole bunch of liberals there.
Yeah, Bill Maher performs there all the time. They come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, I'll have to go to one of his events. Well, hey, I just wanted to say I was listening to Michael Savage last night, and I know he's normally kind of a nut job.
Michael Wiener.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, he was making a point, and it seemed real salient as part of the propaganda of the right. He was basically, the point he was making fun of people that graduated college professors, that whole shtick. But really, it seems to me, he was very clear in what he said. He basically said, people who graduate college are brainwashed, and people
Okay. Right. Well, you know, if you ever noticed, our wiener is much better than theirs. Anthony Wiener, much better.
Yes.
Well, he didn't have to change his name to Savage and run from it.
All right. That's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Bye-bye.